Path to Unconditional Love, Chapter 15, Meeting the Spirits, Simple Truths. The cave was large enough to accommodate our group of 20 people without difficulty. It was mysterious and cool inside, and the sound of our voices sounded different here, echoing off the stone vaults, rich, rumbling. I was one of the last to enter, admiring the view and absorbing the energy of the place. My fingers touching the cold, slightly damp stones, some of them covered with clay. It was a fantastic, unusual feeling. Then I saw Chandra standing in the middle of the commotion, looking at us sternly, and not just sternly, but with condemnation, as if she was ashamed of us. Noticing the mentor's gaze, the group members came closer. Everyone knew that she wanted to say something, and this something would not be so nice and pleasant. When everyone was gathered around the girl, she gave us another serious look and spoke. "One of you has done something wrong," she said, and the sound of her melodious, strong voice echoed through the cave. "And that makes the spirits angry." Everyone began to look at each other in bewilderment. We did not know what had happened. No one seemed to notice anything strange or terrible in the behavior of others. Everyone was positive. They laughed and were friendly. So we were all surprised. And of course, no one wanted to admit their guilt. The mentor continued. "We are now in a place of power, and every place of power has spirits that have lived here for thousands of years, and you should understand that you came to visit them, and not the other way around. You have to be polite here. You can't act as this place owned you something. It doesn't owe you anything, but you do owe it, as you're going to live here. What good have you done for this place?" Listening to our mentor, we all became quiet and thoughtful. Many of us lowered our eyes in guilt. "Think about it. Do you behave correctly in the place of power? Will your presence please the spirits if you swear, throw your garbage, and make noise? You must understand that you can't manifest your presence here by shouting, fussing, breaking something, drawing on the walls, littering, crushing insects, spitting on the ground. And you certainly can't swear here." Chandra took a step toward the entrance of the cave, where there was a natural hollow in the wall, in which was a long wooden staff with a hooked end. The mentor carefully took the staff in her hands and showed it to us. "Do you know that this is the cave where the teacher was enlightened?" she asked. "He lived here for many years, and this is his staff. So the spirit is powerful here. Let's greet him now and ask him to forgive us for disrespecting this place. If someone has negativity, leave it now and come to a greeting state. It's like seeing a wise old friend you haven't met for a long time. Ask permission to stay here. Tune in. You shouldn't greet the spirit out loud. Do it mentally. Contact the spirit. Ask permission to be a guest here. Chandra stood at the entrance of the cave, holding the wooden staff of the sage, and her silhouette was illuminated by the rays of the setting sun. Lithe, slender as a cypress, the wind caressed her long black hair. She was like a fairy princess, a stern and robust warrior, urging to live in peace and harmony with nature. The mentor paused, and then there was a deep silence that created a fairy tale, truly magical atmosphere. The cave had a beautiful view of the gorge, and we began to meditate on the view that opened up. I sat down not far from the wall, placed my hand on its cool stone surface, and closed my eyes, feeling like a small part of a huge mountain. I greeted the spirit of the place and sincerely asked his permission to be here. I felt the energy flowing through the air, filling everything around me. In the silence that followed, I could hear the rustle of insects' wings and the sound of a moisture dripping from the stone ceiling. I felt very calm at heart, calm and light, peaceful. And then there was a wonderful state, as if I was expanding and merging with the cosmos, becoming an infinite space without end. I am God. I am eternity. This was only a fleeting state, part of what the teacher had achieved. I could not hold it for long, and I realized myself again as a body sitting in a cave. True knowledge, Chandra's voice echoed as if it were both bouncing off the walls of the cave and resounding inside my head. Some of you have now been able to open up and accept the great gift of silent knowledge from the teacher. She continued, and what you have just experienced is very valuable. It is important to strive for this state, because the truth can change everything. The first thing you must understand is that truth does not come to a person through reasoning. Many people may hear the truth, reading about it in books, but they will be far from it. True knowledge comes to a person not through information, not through any images or theories. It comes through emotions. When a person begins to see this world in a new way, they get such great knowledge that the whole world becomes completely different. This is the criterion for true knowledge. The true knowledge that Shambhala conveys appears in the form of an emotional state that has such width and depth that it contains an infinite amount of information. This is the place where the teacher meditated and entered into the nirvana body. Everything here is imbued with the subtlest energy of prayer and holiness. In this place, where you and I are lucky enough to stay for the next few days, can open up a lot for those who are open to the truth. And how to transfer this state into your daily life, we will discuss later. One of the most common questions that we are asked, regardless of the request of a person comes with, is how to develop superpowers. After all, superpowers are not something detached from life, but a very real tool for quickly achieving any goal. Are you interested in the answer to this question? Yes. A low rumble of repeated responses echoed through the cave. Many of the participants, seemed to me, were still under the impression of coming into contact with something that was still difficult to explain, and sat with their eyes wide open, as if they were afraid of missing something fundamental. So, to develop superpowers, you need to make your perception more subtle, and nature, beauty, and meditation help with this. In order to achieve what you want, it is important to learn to feel, observe, and live according to the regime to organize yourself. Diligence in practice, aspiration, and sublime emotions are important. And this is difficult to achieve on your own. In childhood, the siddhis manifest more. But as we get older, we are told that they do not exist. Therefore, we who strive for the power say, no ads, no television, no radio. But this does not mean that you should go back to the Stone Age, giving up the benefits of civilization. First of all, you should have an internal filter that allows you to be selective. This means that you must consciously choose what you fill your life with. Pratyahara is the best option for the development of superpowers. As a result of this practice, a person very quickly begins to see the subtle world. This is why retreats are so useful. When you completely disconnect from the outside world for a while and experience a transformation that opens up new opportunities for you. And you and I will have the opportunity to experience this as a part of our little trip. The mentor paused for a moment, and a mysterious smile lit up her face. And now, if you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask them. Several hands flew into the air at the same time. You see, this is a really hot topic, Chandra said, and she laughed out loud and kindly. Yes, Pavel, she said, holding out her hand in the direction of the man, gesturing for him to ask her a question.
Tell me, please, how to learn to maintain a high level of energy. I noticed that immediately after the seminar, I easily direct the received energy into action, and everything is very simple, even when it looks like there is a very little chance. But it's not possible to keep this state for a long period of time, and the energy goes down. At the same time, I try to keep the level of energy between seminars by practicing. But I feel as if there are weak points through which it flows away.
That's right, Pavel. Thank you for the question. I think that it is relevant to many people.
Indeed. The first thing you need to achieve any goal is to eliminate the causes of energy drain. The second is to get into a field where there is a constant supply of strong, positive energy. Unfortunately, individual efforts are not enough for this purpose, since there is a law of intervals that cannot be ignored. Any efforts over time, according to this law, begins to weaken. The intensity and quality of the practice disappear, and so its effectiveness decreases. But working in a group helps you overcome these intervals and keep the person constantly in tune. Therefore, it is necessary to strive more often to break away from society in order to compensate the loss of energy and break ties with energy vampires. It is important to go to seminars. Try to get to a meeting with the teacher. And of course, go out with a group of like-minded people once a week for joint practices in the nature. The second thing is, as Pavel correctly pointed out, the existence of many holes through which this energy constantly draining away from us. In order to feel how it works in life, you can do the following. You need to reduce the number of external impressions to a minimum, at least for a month. Magazines, TV, food, without spices, salt, and seasonings. Your perception will sharpen up with the development of sensitivity. You will feel what gives energy and what takes it away. You will see that these can be places, some specific people in your environment, some actions. This is not so easy, but we should strive to observe these processes. Often, we do not see reality. We think, imagine, fantasize. But you need to learn to see reality first And then the subtle worlds will begin to open up. Another important factor is empty talk. It also takes away energy. Therefore, when you are in the field of the power, it is important to develop this good habit, not to waste energy. This is important for the development of superpowers. So let's try to observe this warning both for ourselves and for other participants of the seminar. Namaste. The mentor clasped her hands in a gesture of greeting, as if to indicate that this was all she was prepared to convey on the question at this point in time. There was a lot in this gesture, something like a blessing to act, so to speak, and at the same time, respect for the energy that poured out from her. "I'm sorry, may I ask you something?" "Yes, Marina, ask." Chandra replied to an energetic woman of about 35. "At the beginning of the lecture, you spoke about the silent knowledge and truth. You know, at the moment when we were getting tuned into this place, I had a very unusual and a very powerful experience. And you said that this state can be experienced in everyday life. Can you tell us more about this?" "Yes, Marina. We will even devote a separate lesson to it," said Chandra, smiling. "But a little later, I can only say that this is possible because of the music that the teacher wrote. I will tune in to him through simple practices that we will definitely master. Now, let's put our hands together in a namaste gesture. Close our eyes, stretch the top of our head up, and chant the Aum mantra, and feel the cosmic vibrations descend on us. Let's cross our arms and bow with gratitude in our hearts." When I opened my eyes, everything around me was slowly coming to life. Muffled conversations began. Some were quietly sharing their impressions. Others were looking for a place and starting to settle in, pulling out mats and sleeping bags from their backpacks and rattling dishes. Chandra said we were going to live in this cave, and I could not believe it was true. On one hand, I was filled with excitement that this was a special place, and with the anticipation of a new, mystical experience. But on the other hand, the practical mind constantly switched me to the usual perception of space. "Are we going to sleep right here? On that uneven stone floor that sloped down at a steep angle? It would have been okay if there had been just small rocks, But the floor consisted of a pile of large blocks of rock. It seemed improbable. How could anyone normally sleep in such conditions? This surprised and puzzled me. I did not expect it to be like this. I thought we would be sleeping somewhere on flat grass, maybe in the open. Yeah, I said aloud, no one in particular. It's going to be a little hard without a sleeping bag. What? You really didn't bring your sleeping bag? Roman was surprised. The guy with a book, with whom we had traveled from Moscow in the same car. He happened to be there and witnessed my confusion. Was it by accident? I made a helpless gesture. Unfortunately, it just happened. Roman smiled benevolently. Don't worry about it. We'll fix it. Really? I asked. Do you have a spare one? I don't, but we'll figure something out. The first night, I slept in a comfort I could not even dream of. Roma helped me settle in. He got me a sleeping bag somewhere, laid blankets in my corner, so that I didn't even feel the slope and the uneven stone floor. For the entire period of the seminar, this person became my real guardian angel. He took me under his protection, took care of me in every possible way, and demanded nothing in return. He did everything as if it were a matter of course. For example, he could imperceptibly put wet sneakers by the fire to dry. When I woke up in the morning, I had dry, warm shoes to climb the stone slopes and explore the mountain gorges until the evening. Roma gave me some dishes I did not have from his stock. He brought me food, took care to dry my clothes, and made sure that I did not need anything for the entire 10 days. Later, when I heard other people's stories about living conditions in such mountain hikes and compared them with my own feelings, I realized how lucky I had been. People complained about being cold and uncomfortable, about not having enough food, about not being invited somewhere, about wet clothes. Thanks to my guardian angel, I did not have such problems at all. After the seminar, I began to notice one interesting thing. Wherever I was, there were fellow travelers who took on the role of my defenders. They protected me, and I was sincerely grateful to them and to God, who sent help in the form of these people. Analyzing later why this had started happening to me, I realized one simple truth. The more you are attuned to the world and to God, the more you will receive in return. The principle that is familiar to us from childhood, from fairy tales. But it really works. If you are negative and critical to the world, all the negativity will immediately come back to you. If you believe in the help of higher powers. If you look at the world from a positive position, if you're open to the world, then everything will be helping you. A good illustration of this principle was a member of our seminar group, a young woman named Svetlana, who had come from Moldova. She was not like the other girls and women in our group, but instead stood out in a negative way. The first thing that caught my eye was her masculinity, which was manifested in everything, in harsh phrases, cynical jokes, gestures, clothes. Svetlana was a kind of boyish girl who, on one hand, dreamed of male attention, and on the other, didn't have the slightest femininity to attract this attention. One day, when we were all sitting in our camp and resting after a long practice, suddenly there was an indignant cry from Svetlana. "I'm so fucked up! I've had enough of this!" "Sveta, you're freaking me out! What happened?" Pavel asked, good, naturally coming closer.
"Nothing happened!"
Svetlana snapped in his face, irritably rummaging in the things.
"I just can't find anything in this fucking suitcase! Where's my mug? I have a feeling that someone is hiding it on purpose!"
Pavel chuckled and shrugged. "Could it be the spirit of the cave? He wants you to stop cursing?" The other men looked at each other and laughed good-naturedly, and their calmness was like a red rag to a bull. The woman nervously slammed her suitcase shut and clenched her fists in anger.
"Okay, everyone. God forbid I see anyone touching my things,"
Svetlana announced loudly.
"Don't you go near them at all. Is that clear?"
"Yes, it's clear. How can it not be?" "Sveta, I wanted to help you find your mug, but since this is the case, it's better if you do it yourself." I watched the whole situation and was amazed at how our men calmly and with light humor put her in her place without lowering themselves to her level and without shouting back at her. The next day, the story continued, and at the next break, Svetlana's scream had already turned into a shrieking shriek. She flew into the cave, her face contorted with anger.
"My suitcase!"
she wailed, nervously shrugging her shoulders.
"My suitcase! It fell in the gorge! And all my things are there! I knew something would happen! I knew it!"
"Sveta, I told you yesterday, don't swear. The spirit doesn't like it," Pavel said, sipping water from a flask. "You've offended him, and it's your fault."
Svetlana's face distorted even more, and she looked
like a wicked witch from a children's fairy tale.
"I'm so sick of you and that spirit,"
she said, rolling her eyes furiously.
"What do you care? And I have all my things there. How am I going to be here without them? I can't even eat, nor change clothes. I have nothing, you understand?"
"You just have to accept the situation. Breathe out and calm down."
"Calm down?" Svetlana was almost screaming. "There were my papers and tickets. There's a river down there. What if it sinks? What if it gets carried away by the stream?"
"I think things will get better when you change your attitude to it."
"What kind of men are you?"
Svetlana then exploded, talking not only to Pavel, but also to the rest of our men, who were watching the action with gentle irony.
"No one can help a woman, can they?"
"You're not men. You're dog shit." For the rest of the whole day, Svetlana twitched and did not find a place for herself, spewing venom at everyone who had the imprudence to approach. And by the evening, she had dried up, drained of her own negativity. She sat down on a rock, bowed her head, and was silent, looking sadly at the setting sun. The camp was finally quiet, calm, and peaceful. "All right, men, I'm going," Pavel said, getting up. He went out of the cave and out of sight. An hour later, he appeared, carrying a bright yellow suitcase. "I told you, everything will be fine." The man smiled and put the suitcase in front of Svetlana. She jumped as if she had been bitten by a scorpion, blinked joyfully in disbelief, and then lowered her gaze with guilt.
"Thank you," she said softly. "I'm sorry for what I said."
"You'd better ask the spirits for forgiveness, not me." Pavel smiled. "I'm afraid your suitcase won't be able to survive another fall. For me, this situation, first of all, became a perfect illustration of Chandra's words. If you do not respect the spirits of the place, they will punish you." Svetlana behaved abominably, cursed, shouted, and was hysterical. And no one else's suitcase had fallen, only hers. Second, I understood how to respond to negative events correctly. Of course, Svetlana's reaction was, in general, understandable. She was worried about the lost things, and therefore was angry, tried to hurt everyone so as to draw attention to her problem, provoking an aggressive response. In a usual group, this could have turned into a major scandal, a brawl. But our team had such a smart atmosphere that no one consciously gave in to provocations. Men behaved very wisely. In fact, becoming an instrument in the hands of divine providence. The simple truth was once again confirmed. If you accept negativity calmly, if you can laugh in the face of your troubles and fears, if you are open to the world and do not think that people owe you something, then the whole world is coming to meet you. Then God will send you guardian angels, helpers, and protectors. And vice versa, a negative perception of the world will never lead to anything good, but only pull it even lower, provoking a chain of bad events. Looking ahead a little, I will say that Svetlana later played a role in school's life. Despite her masculinity, she turned out to be a talented student and made great progress. But one day, her ego took over and she scratched everything over. I did not know the details of what exactly happened, but I witnessed her fall. She behaved just terribly. Brawling, swearing, demanding special treatment. And then, the teacher, having learnt about this, sent a request to help Svetlana get ready to leave. This was the only time the teacher ever asked me to do this. For me, it was so wild, unusual, incredibly difficult. Svetlana was always sharp. For example, she could hurt a person with a bitter, malicious joke, and it was obvious that she enjoyed it. The stream of evil poured out of her endlessly. She did not think about the feelings of other people, and always looked for new opportunities to assert herself at their expense. When I told Svetlana about her exile, you should have seen her face. What a change it was from a haughty, arrogant person. She suddenly turned into a weak, defenseless child. She hunched her shoulders and looked at me with the eyes of a cornered, helpless animal. "What's going on, Roxana? What's going on? What is happening?" she wailed softly, her fingers twitching nervously at the bottom of her skirt. The woman had never been a close friend, or even a friend to me. I was always wary of Svetlana. I was kind of afraid of her. I did not respect her for many reasons. I did not understand her behavior. But now, I felt so sorry for her. I wanted to plead for her and beg the teacher to give her another chance. At that moment, I felt like a person banishing the soul from paradise. The teacher's decision seemed too harsh. But after a while, I realized that it was the only correct one. Svetlana left, and a few years later, she appeared on TV with tears and sniffles. She, once a promising student of the school, told about how she was in a terrible sect. She denigrated the school and the teacher's name, saying things that were not just the opposite of what had been actually happening, but as if they had been made up on purpose, as if an invisible enemy were trying to wield a weak puppet, performing its dark deeds to extinguish the light of the teacher in the eyes of the seekers. Only then did I fully understand how right the teacher had been. Do you want to know more? Watch the animated masterpiece that reveals the mysteries of humanity. Discover more sacred knowledge in books. You can meet the main characters of books at our seminars. Find your amulet of power. Participate in an individual ritual. Open free channel with daily spiritual practices for yourself. All these you will find on our website, www.amazonone.org. Share this book and spread the great knowledge. Then people's lives will change for the better, and you will accumulate good karma and be able to help all your loved ones.